It's a lot to take in, I say, gently setting the dove back with his brothers in the cage. Thanks for waiting to talk until we got here. I dust my hands off on my pants as Andrea flips two more folding chairs out from their space by the wall and parks them across from Amy's seat. This is where Andrea and I come to chat. When you don't want to be overheard, Amy says with understanding, nodding. I get it. What is this room? I think once upon a time it was a choir room. I found risers in here when we first came to the fort. They're now welded in front of a few windows, but the room still has airy acoustics to it, which makes it nice for the birds. They can't go outside, but I don't want them to feel too trapped. I've made a large cage for them out of chicken wire mesh strung from the ceiling and a few perches here and there. At one time I had 20 doves of all kinds, gray, ringneck, mourning. But as time has passed, I have fewer and fewer. 7 remain, and the others have either flown off into birdie freedom or been killed. I sincerely hope it's the latter. In a way, it's good that they haven't come back. The feed store a mile or so away is almost out of birdseed, and what's left is molded and nasty. Soon there won't be anything at all. Wow, okay. Amy smooths her long, billowy skirt, and I'm envious of her pretty dress. It's clear that her dragon took her shopping to areas that are far outside of what we can scavenge here at the fort, because she looks fresh and lovely, and Andrea and I look grubby and faded. So tell me, what's the deal with the dragon outside the city? Vaughn, you guys know something, clearly. Andrea flicks a nervous glance at me as we unfold our chairs and sit down across from Amy. I feel like a kid that's been called to the principal's office. Ironic, considering we live in an old school. Yeah, you could say that. You want to tell me? Amy gives us a calm look. I'm not mad, I'm just curious. It's a problem we need to figure out before I leave. Which one of you is it, or is it someone else? Andrea gives me a miserable look. You want to tell her? No, not really, but I don't have a choice. Instead of confessing the truth, I lean forward and put my hands on my knees. Is there any way to call him off? Amy gives me a pitying smile. If there were, people would have figured it out already. I've learned one thing about Rast. He does what he wants. But he listens to you, right? When she nods, I continue. So can you have him call off his friend? Tell him to leave? Did you miss the part where I just said Draconi do what they want? She grins to take the sting out of her words. In all seriousness, Vaughn's a tricky one to deal with. Rast's been talking to him constantly since we arrived, and he's pretty lost. Lost? Andrea looks wistful. Lost how? Amy presses her hands together, thinking, and then taps them against her lips as if she's considering just how to explain herself. So, to be blunt, they're all crazy. There's something in this world that makes them wild and flips a switch in their minds. My sister's dragon is very hot-tempered. Rast is too, and easily distracted when he's emotional. I try to have him focus on me, but it's difficult at times. Vaughn's as bad as any I've ever heard. Rast has to tell him over and over again what our plans are and not to attack the fort. And every few hours he has to be told again. She shakes her head slowly. Even if he could be reasoned with, it would all have to be told to him over and over again. But if he has a mate... And she gives us both a pointed look. It's me, I tell her bluntly. And it's a mistake. Her expression softens. How do you know? That it's a mistake? Because I can't mate a dragon. I press my hands to my face. I'm too busy ruining everything I touch around here. I hunch over my legs, hiding my face. I feel so ashamed. This is all my fault. A gentle hand rubs my back. You're doing the best you can, Amy tells me. And somehow that just makes everything worse. Hot tears spill from my eyes and they just keep coming. I've endangered everyone with everything I do. Fort Shreveport couldn't have picked a worse leader if they'd tried. I'm filled with despair. As I try to pull myself together, Andrea tells Amy all about our late-night venture into the city. How we crept out because Andrea was so very sure that the dragon was her mate. I can hear the embarrassment in her voice as she tells the story. But to Amy's credit, She doesn't mock or make poor Andrea feel silly. When the telling is over, Amy is quiet for a moment, then speaks. I'm not going to judge you or tell you that you did something crazy. I mean, you're talking to someone who more or less jumped off the ledge of a building, convinced that her dragon would catch her. I look up in surprise. Amy gives me a crooked grin. Nobody said I was the most practical of girls. At any rate, I'm lucky it worked out because another dragon almost snagged me. So, no judgment here. She puts a hand on my knee, leaning forward. But what I am going to say isn't all that comforting. It sounds like you really are his mate, Gwen. At least in his eyes. And he's not about to give up on you. He's been waiting outside the city for days now because Rast told him that we'd be sending his mate out. He what? I blurt out, horrified. I didn't say it was the truth. That's just what we told him. She shrugs delicately and straightens. My point is, he's going to wait until you come back out. He's not going to give up. That means until you decide to go say hello to him. He's not leaving the city. Everyone that takes a step outside is going to be in danger. I groan in frustration, wanting to bury my face in my hands again. Why am I cursed? Some of us are just lucky that way, she says with a wry grin. The after doesn't make things easy for anyone. She taps her leg, the one that gives her the terrible limp, and I immediately feel like an asshole. I don't know Amy's story, and here I am whining about a dragon falling in love with me. It's time to suck it up or shut up. I take a deep, bracing breath. Okay, so I need to go out and talk to him. If I do, he'll leave? Amy grimaces. Remember the part where I said you can't force a dragon to do anything? You can try talking to him, but he's not going to leave. Not without you. How do I make him understand what I want? I ask. Across from me, Amy chews on her lip. You want the grisly truth? God. Yes, I do. Hit me with it. He's pretty much a force of nature. Think of him like a tornado, and you're going to be sucked into it whether you want to or not. Her smile is small, apologetic. It's no longer your choice. Well, that's bullshit, I tell her dryly, resisting the urge to panic. No panic yet. Not until I'm in private and can freak out quietly on my own. I'm not going anywhere with him. Not until Daniela comes back.
He knows that. That's why he's waiting.
She waves a hand back and forth in the air.
Sort of. He also keeps forgetting why he needs to wait. The only thing that sticks in his mind is you and you alone. It's the only control he has in his life. That's how dragons work, both good and bad. You've now become the most important thing in the world to an impossibly powerful alien. It can be amazing and wonderful beyond your wildest dreams.
Amy's face softens and she gets the sweetest, most adoring look on her face.
It can change everything for you.
Her expression sobers and she focuses on me again.
But like I said, you don't have a choice. He's picked you as his mate, and there's not anyone that can tell him no.
I'm going to tell him no, I say indignantly. This isn't what I want.
What do you want?
Amy asks, and her face turns shrewd.
What exactly is it that would make you happy, Gwen?
I don't have to think hard about this. I want everyone to be safe. I want Fort Shreveport to be happy and prosperous and a good place to live. These people deserve a haven after the hell they've gone through. They deserve to have enough food in their bellies without having to whore themselves out or latch on to the strongest man they can find. Their children deserve to grow up in safety.
That sounds wonderful, and I agree,
Amy says softly.
But what do you want, Gwen? Not the fort. What is it you want?
The answer comes immediately to my head. I hesitate for a moment before saying it aloud. Not to be in charge. Not to be responsible for so many lives. I'm not good at it. I keep making mistakes, and the more things go wrong, the more I feel trapped. Even now, I feel like I'm suffocating.
You don't have to be in charge,
Andrea tells me softly. Her arm goes around my shoulders, and then she hugs me against her. Someone has to, I tell her miserably. I hate it. I hate how bad I am at it. But everyone looks to me, so I do the best I can.
I'm going to help,
Amy says, and there's quiet determination in her voice.
I'll take on the mantle of responsibility if you'll let me. I want to laugh hysterically. If I'll let her, I want to fling this invisible mantle on her so quickly I can hardly stand it. But you're leaving.
Just to check on my sister. She's pregnant.
Amy smiles. That deeply romantic, sweet expression again.
She and her dragon are expecting their first baby, and I want to see how she's doing. Then I'll be back. Rast and I both want to help out. This fort has such potential. It could be such a wonderful home for us, if we're welcome.
You forget, I tell her with wry amusement. We let in everyone, even the bad guys, remember? Andrea snorts at my joke.
You're too hard on yourself, Gwen. No one else faults you for the choices you've had to make.
She reaches out and takes my hand, her pale one against my darker one. She squeezes my fingers tight and laces hers with mine, an intimate and friendly gesture that speaks of idealism and sincerity.
Can I keep giving you some awful truths?
Might as well. They can't get much worse than what I've been told already.
You want to give safety to the people that live here more than anything else, right?
When I nod, she squeezes my fingers again.
I have no power without Rast at my side. If you take Vaughn as your mate, not only are you saving your people from the dragon at their door, but you'll be providing them with a devoted guardian. It's a win-win situation.
What she says does sound like a win-win situation, except for the part that I give up all of my freedom to become some killer monster's personal plaything. Is this how Fay Wray felt when King Kong grabbed her?
Amy's little grimace tells me I'm not far off the mark.
Okay, let's say I'll do this. Let's say I pretend I have a choice and decide I'm going to mosey out and say hello to Vaughn.
I close my eyes and take a deep, stealing breath. I can do this for the safety of all the people who have depended on me so far. All the people who have looked to me and who I've failed time and time again. This is one way I won't fail them.
Let's say I want to become his buddy. How do I do the mental speak like you and Rast?
To my surprise, Amy's cheeks flush bright red.
Dread pools in my belly and I snatch my hand from hers. Oh, hell no. You are tripping.
Andrea speaks up.
Surely not.
Amy clears her throat and does her best to compose herself. So I should give you the birds and the bees breakdown, dragon style.
Oh, God.
6. Gwen. Some time later, I'm in my bed, my arms wrapped around my baby sister as she shudders and cries against my shoulder. Danielle is back, but she's not whole. I fight back my own tears as she drifts off to sleep. I stroke her hair and murmur soothing sounds that mean nothing at all, just so she hears my voice. Danielle is 20 and strong and opinionated, bold, vivacious. But that's the old Daniela. The one in my arms trembles and quakes with terror. The one in my arms has terrible scars on her once smooth, dark cheeks in the symbol of the Brothers of Ash, a curling flame. They're raw and red and look as if they were made with a brand. They stand out as a testament to what she's endured and won't speak of. I failed her. Ever since the rift, I've sworn to Danielle that I'd take care of her, that I'd protect her. The time she needed me the most, I let her be taken by awful people. I don't know who I hate more right now, the Brothers of Ash or myself.
She's home, Andrea whispers from across the room, safe in her bed.
That's all that matters, Gwen. Maybe she's right. Maybe I've done the best I can. Danielle is alive. She told me she's still a virgin, but that's all she says. I know from experience that there's a lot a guy can do to a girl without messing up her virginity. And my heart hurts. When I ask Dee, though, all she says is that they were holding her to sell her. It's clear she's traumatized and she's not the only one. I don't know that this ache in my heart is ever going to leave. This awful, awful, helpless feeling. And when she whimpers in her sleep and pulls away from me, I let her go. I get out of bed and tuck the blankets tight around her. It's late, but I can't sleep anyhow. Danielle is back, but tomorrow Amy and Rast will be leaving. Our protection from the dragon outside the gates of the fort? Gone. And I've got to figure out what I'm going to do.
It's clear I have to make a decision, and soon. I put on my shoes and head toward the door. As I pass by Andrea's bed, she reaches out and grabs my hand. I know what you're thinking, she whispers, and it's not your fault. Everyone keeps saying that like it matters. The problem is, I'm the one in charge. When something happens, it is my fault because I'm the one they look to. I'm just going to go check on my birds for a bit, I tell her, forcing a smile to my face. Maybe petting a few feathered heads for a while will calm my nerves. They held a gun in your face when they took her, Andrea continues. If you tried to stop them, you would have died. That doesn't mean you failed. It means you made a choice to fight another day, and now she's back. She gives my hand a supportive squeeze. You need to stop beating yourself up. She's going to be fine. I nod, squeeze her hand back, and slip out of the room. Fort Shreveport in the middle of the night is eerily quiet. I pad through the halls filled with empty, gaping cubbies where the lockers used to be. All that metal has been welded over windows and affixed to the roof to protect us from dragonfire, and the holes it leaves behind aren't the prettiest. Then again, pretty isn't really much of a thing anymore. A tomato plant full of fruit is one of the most beautiful things I've seen in the after, because I know how many bellies it'll feed. A sunflower bent over with the weight of its seeds is gorgeous, because I know how many of my birds it'll feed. Walls can be ugly as long as they're secure. I creep down the shadowed halls and head toward the old music room, where I can hear the soft cooing of my doves even in the hall. Once inside, I stare at the cage I've made for them. Is this some sort of sick metaphor for the fort, I wonder? That I'm just making cages for everyone and pretending like they're safe, when I'm really just giving them a slower death? I hate how mopey I've become. Frowning at myself, I move to the cage door and fling it open. You're free, I whisper to my birds. If they fly out, I'll open every door in the fort until they can find the sky. Instead, they just coo and stare at me, hopping from perch to perch, waiting for a handout. I sigh. So much for being dramatic. I lean in and pet the small heads, offering a handful of precious seeds before shutting the cage again and heading down the hall to the girls' locker room. One of the nice things about the fort being in a school is that the bathrooms still work. A shower's what I need. I go inside, snagging one of the worn white towels we keep at hand, and then strip my clothes off. I turn on one of the shower heads and move under the cold water. No heat, but after years of questionable running water and no air conditioning, I like the cold shower. I lather my body and wash my hair, lost in thought. I should be thinking about Daniela. About what's going to happen now that the Brothers of Ash are on the run. How the fort's going to change under Amy's control. There's so much going on that it's hard to focus in on just one thing. Maybe that's the reason why I keep thinking about the dragon waiting outside for me. Waiting for a mate. Amy pulled no punches with what she told me earlier. She was very clear about what the big dragon wants from me. Vaughn, I remind myself. Like it or not, he's a person under all those scales and teeth, and I've got to think of him like one. I think about what Vaughn wants from me. He wants a mate. He's going to try to mate me and claim me as his own. That means sex and biting, since Amy said that the way he establishes a mind link is through sharing his fires with his mate. It sounds like a poisonous bite, which is a little terrifying in itself, but Amy wasn't horrified about it, and I guess I shouldn't be either. After that, I'll belong to him. Sex. God, I haven't had sex in a few years. Not since we left Fort Tulsa. Even then, it wasn't great sex, and so it was easy to go without unless I needed something. Here in Fort Shreveport? Well, not a lot of guys to pick from, because they're either like Benny, 14 and a pain in the ass, or like Liam, a.k.a. Weird. I've done quite well for myself with my hand and a bit of conditioner when the urge hit me. I think for a moment and then grab the conditioner bottle. Maybe I need to mentally associate the dragon outside with sexy things. Reprogram myself to think sexy thoughts about dragons instead of being filled with complete and utter terror at the thought of one touching me. All right. Step one, I tell myself, and get a dollop of conditioner. I slide it over my mound and then lean against the tile wall as the water rains down on me. My fingers caress my slick folds, and then I stroke my clit. Dragon, I remind myself. Dragon, dragon, dragon. It's not the most enticing thing to think about. In fact, all those teeth and fire are pretty much the opposite of alluring. I squeeze my eyes shut and try to picture a big golden man instead. One with big arms and a wicked, playful smile. And I picture that smile going between my thighs. I've never had a man go down on me. Lots of bad boyfriends in the past. But I like to imagine how it'll be. When my fingers skate over my clit, I try to picture a man's tongue instead. In my mind, he's fierce and wild, and he pins me down so I can't be in control. So I can't do anything but lie back and enjoy. I'm shocked at the hot need that bolts through me at that thought, and I have to bite back a moan. I can feel my pussy flood with heat, and my touches take on urgency. I lightly stroke and circle, pushing myself toward a climax. In my mind's eye, I'm not in the shower. I'm underneath my man, and he's taking and taking and taking. I come with a low whimper and a rush of wetness between my thighs. Gasping, I lean back against the tile. I've never come so hard, and I don't know what that says about me or my situation. Don't psychoanalyze, Gwen, I chide myself. It's late, you're tired and stressing over nothing. Just go to bed and worry about the piles of shit in the morning. They'll still be there. Mental Gwen is smart. I lift a hand to the spray. A bone-jarring roar shakes the building. I scream, collapsing in a huddle at the bottom of the shower stall, my eyes wide. Another roar sounds overhead and I stare up at the ceiling, half expecting it to cave in, to see a giant clawed hand reaching through and snatching me away. This has to be a coincidence. There's no way he knew what I was doing. Did he? I remain frozen, waiting at the bottom of the shower. Lights flick on down the hall and I can hear people murmuring in fear. The dragon's woken up the entire settlement. I wait for another roar, but there's nothing. It's quiet. It can't be because I touched myself. And yet somehow I still feel responsible. Amy said he picked up my scent in the streets outside the fort. It's entirely possible he smelled that then. Somehow. God, even a good masturbation session isn't sacred anymore. I get to my feet, turn the water on full blast, and scrub my pussy with soap until everything stings. When I can't possibly be any cleaner, I get out of the shower, towel down quickly, and dress, wrapping my wet hair. One of the guards on duty, Cass, meets me in the hall. She flicks the lights off as I walk past. Go back to sleep, she says softly. False alarm. I nod at her and head to my room. Thanks. Sleep tight. Back inside the room I share with Andrea and Daniela, it's quiet. The light's still out. My sister's huddled under my blankets and Andrea's lying on her side. I'm sure if I looked over at her, I'd see her watching me. I wonder if she's thinking the same thing that I am, that the dragon's roar's my fault. I don't want to see the judgment on her face, so I ignore her and head straight for my bed, kicking my shoes back under the cot. The moment I sink onto the side of the bed, Daniela reaches up for me. Don't leave me, Gwen. Please. I'm scared when you're gone. I'm here, Dee, I tell her as I move next to her. I let her burrow against me again and she falls back asleep. There's no sleep for me, though. I'm starting to think the only way I can save my sister and the rest of the fort is by leaving and taking that dragon with me.
7. Vaughn. No smell has ever been as glorious as my female's mating scent. Faint wisps of it cling to the air, and I flare my nostrils, lifting my head to catch it in the breeze. It's delicate, but musky, and almost overwhelmed by the fear scent that followed. My mate. Mine. Enough waiting. It is time that I claim her as my own. She hides in the human nest, but it would be such a small thing to peel the metal skin from their hidey hole, to flush them out like lizards under rocks and pluck her from their grasp. You said you would wait. A dragon interrupts me. You promised not to harm the humans. Who are you? I am Rast. You know me. We have had this conversation many times already, my friend. You are Vaughn. You promised to wait to claim your mate because I would send her out to you. Then do so! I tire of waiting! Tomorrow, he promises me. Tomorrow, I think she will arrive and greet you. Tomorrow is too long to wait. I want her now! If you try to claim her now, you will hurt many of the people she is protecting. She will be very angry over that. That makes me pause. She is already frightened. I do not need to frighten her more. One more day, Rast tells me. Can you wait one more day? You have already waited several. Have I? I do not remember. But I settle back down atop my perch and tuck my wings against my body. If I must. Try and remember this time. I would rather raise the hive with fire and pry her out, I admit to him, resting on my haunches. Some days I would too. But it is important to your female that the hive is a safe place for her humans. Honor that. I can, if it will please her. I imagine how happy she will be at such a realization that I am holding back my strength because I wish to please her and her hive. Perhaps she will be so taken by the realization she will challenge me for a mating. A flicker of memory returns, and with it, pleasant feelings. Ah, she has challenged me once before. I wish I could remember what I did to encourage that. I wish I could remember what she looked like, too, or her name. But these things are nothing but smoke in my mind when I try to focus on them. Your mate will help with that, too, Rast tells me. This I promise. She needs to hurry, then. I do not know if I can wait much longer. The sliver of sanity that I hold on to seems smaller with each breath I take.
Gwen. When morning comes, I've decided. For everyone's safety, except mine, it's wisest if I go confront the dragon. I can do this, I tell myself over and over again as I quietly pack my second pair of jeans and a t-shirt and my other shoes that are slightly too small but get worn anyhow. Daniela, Andrea, and the others are at breakfast in the cafeteria, and then Amy and Rast are going to take off. I figure if I have to do this, the sooner the better. Daniela was fragile this morning. She had bad dreams all night and wept and clung to me like a child. It didn't matter how gently I tried to extract myself from her embrace. She didn't want me to leave. Andrea realized what I was up to and goaded/teased my sister until they both left for breakfast. I don't think Andrea will be surprised to see me gone. She knows I don't have a choice. She'll take care of Dee for me. And me? I'll take care of the dragon. I choke on my own hysterical laughter and, after a second thought, dump my pack on the bed. Daniela and Andrea can have my stuff. I won't need it if he kills me. And if he doesn't, well, I'll tackle that one day at a time. It feels a little terrifying to think about leaving the fort without a single thing with me. But everything can be used by someone else, and I'd feel like a jerk taking it and then it being roasted. Of course, Amy is positive the dragon, Vaughn, won't kill me. But I can't seem to get that idea through my head. Billions of people have died to dragons in the past. It's hard to take the word of one single person over that. I close the door to the room behind me and sneak down the hall. I pass by the cafeteria to get one last look at Daniela. I peer in through the textured glass next to the double doors, and there's my sister, seated next to Andrea and Benny, dragging her spoon through her oatmeal. She looks dejected, but not broken, and I hope she's okay. Andrea's frowning, focused on something across the room, and she's practically stabbing her oatmeal as if it offends her. I follow her stare, and it's Liam. Liam of the weird golden skin and sunglasses and hats. He's wearing his normal getup today, a long-sleeved dark shirt, a baseball cap, and a scarf around his neck to try and hide his skin despite the fact that it's already blisteringly warm this morning. He's hunched over his bowl and eating alone as he normally does. He's returned. I'm a little surprised that he's back, and so bold as to sit in the same room as Rast and Amy, who must know his secret. I'm torn between going into the cafeteria and confronting him myself, but I know if I do, I won't be able to get away today. It has to be today, too, before Rast and Amy leave, just in case they're wrong and this dragon Vaughn eats me instead of dates me. Just the thought makes a hysterical laugh bubble up in my throat. I push away from the cafeteria windows and race down the hall. Time's wasting. I head out of one of the back doors of the school and pace across the yard, through rows of crops on wheeled dollies and flatbeds. They're out soaking up the sunlight right now since it's not a dragon attack day, and we've been reassured by Amy and Rast that Vaughn won't attack the settlement because I'm here. I touch one of the vines of a cucumber plant and hope that they're right. So much food could be wasted if he loses it and starts flaming. Maybe I should cart all the plants back inside where they'd be protected just in case. After all, Amy and Rast could be leading us down a path to destruction if... I squeeze my eyes shut. No, stop it, Gwen. You can't control everything. Let someone else take on these problems. I force myself to walk forward, to open my eyes and move with determination toward the fence at the back of the compound where Benny's hole has yet to be repaired. My skin prickles with the terror surging through me, but I keep going. I have to. This has to be finished one way or another. I can't let this continue because we'll all die slowly if we can't go out of the ford or raise crops. Something has to give, and in this case, it's going to be me. I find the hole in the chain link where it's been dug out a bit along the ground, just enough for a body to slide under. Andrea placed a few cinder blocks to block it temporarily, and I haul them out of the way before crawling under the fence. Dirt sticks to the sweat on my face and covers my clothes, but I don't care. What, am I going to dress up for a dragon? Please. Once outside the gate, my body prickles with goosebumps. The streets are creepy quiet, and each footstep on the broken pavement feels like it's a blast of sound. How long is it going to take before the dragon finds me? I swallow hard, my throat dry. I'm terrified, and I want nothing more than to turn back. Why couldn't this dragon pick someone other than me? Why? I think of Amy's leg and how she doesn't let it stop her, and of Daniela's branded cheeks. I'm being a whiner again. Things could be worse. I suck in a deep breath. Nothing to do but carry forward and handle shit. All right. Come on out, dragon, I call in a wobbling voice as I head down one of the back streets, away from the gates of Fort Shreveport and away from my people. Come out, wherever you are. Let's get this introduction out of the way already. I head down another street, and then I'm unable to ignore the creeping feeling of worry in my gut. What if this is a trap? What if... No, Gwen, think positive. I mean, it could be that the dragon's already left the place and decided he doesn't want himself a bit of dark meat after all. I brighten at the thought. Two more streets, I tell myself. I'll go down two more streets, wait, and then allow myself to turn around and go back to the fort. Even as I think it, a shadow moves overhead, blotting out the sun. I stare at the weed-riddled pavement as it glides overhead, bigger than a school bus. Shit. The dragon hasn't left after all.
8. Vaughn. My female has returned. The scent of her touches my senses, clear and strong, and with it comes clarity. My female, mine to claim. I follow her scent on the breeze, narrowing in on it. She walks outside of her hive, the singular scent of her telling me that she is alone. Good. It is time to possess her. With a snarl, I take to the air, spreading my wings. I remain low, flying just above the surfaces of the squatty abandoned buildings that stink of humans and dust. Not all humans stink, though. This one smells perfect, and even though I cannot remember her face, I remember her aroma. It is the most incredible thing I have ever scented. The other dragon sends out a query, pricking at my thoughts. I ignore it, shutting him out. Possessiveness takes over me. My female is here, and I will let nothing stand in the way of getting her. I have waited too long to take her already. And when I spot movement in the street below, I arrow in, diving low and snatching her into my claws. Mine. She has not shifted to battle form, but that is all right. I will steal her away to some place private where she can challenge me to a mating duel. With my prize in my grip, I flap my wings hard, gaining speed and strength as I rise into the air. She struggles against my claws, making frightened noises, and her fear scent perfumes the air. Frustration boils in my belly. I do not want her fear smell again. I want her to challenge me. I want her to shift forms and attack so we can battle, and then I can mate her. Just thinking about such a thing excites me, and I fly faster and higher, determined to get away from the human hive before she can change her mind and retreat to its safety. After a time, she stops fighting against my grip and settles in. The soft sounds disappear into the wind, and she is quiet. I like this even less than I like her fear smell, but investigating it will have to wait until I land. For the first time in a long time, my mind feels clearer, my senses sharper. The fog that riddles my thoughts seems a bit less this day, and I suspect it is because her scent is in my nose, anchoring me to reality after being lost for so long. I study my surroundings with a critical eye, not as a predator this time, but as a Draconi male with a potential mate. I need a nest for my female. I need a spot to claim as my own. I thought originally that I would claim the territory by the human hive, but Rast has settled in with his female. I will take my mate away rather than challenge him for territory for now. I will take her a long distance from here, and if she wishes to return, she will have no choice but to shift to battle form to fly. And then I will accept her challenge. And then we shall mate. And then it will be glorious. I fly until the wind shifts and the clouds roll in. The land changes below me, and I notice that for the first time as well. The trees have grown thick and tall, and the human hives have gone from a dense cluster to a mere scatter. This looks like an acceptable place for my mate, I think. I can smell game on the wind and fresh water. Best of all, there are no other Draconi in the area. This place is mine, then. I circle lower, looking for a place that would be adequate for a nest, but still give her room to challenge me, an all-important necessity. She will want to spread her wings and stretch her battle form. I set down on the ground and tuck my wings in, then gently release her from my claws. With her safely away from the hive, she is fully mine, and I can examine her appearance. I have forgotten what she looks like already, and so I am surprised and pleased when I see that her hair is thick and dark and rich with springy curls. Her eyes are brown and do not show her emotions, which is unusual. Her fires must be buried deep within. Her skin is the color of sand. Sand and cliffs. A vague memory flashes through my mind of a barren landscape covered with rolling hills of sand and distant, layered cliffs that are the same lovely, deep shade as her skin. Longing pierces through me. Where is this place? I try to recall, but nothing rises to the surface. Frustrated, I lean in close and take a deep breath of her scent. She doesn't smell like the cliffs. I remember how they smelled. Hot, scorched, earthy. She smells like human things. My mate makes a noise and then swats at my nose. Surprised, I rear back and study her. Even though her emotions are not coloring her eyes, it is clear to see that she is angry. I can smell it in her scent, and I can see it in the way her body tenses. Yes. Good. She is ready to mate after all. Eager, I lower my head and flick my tail, waiting for her to attack.
9. Gwen.
Of all the places in the world, the damn dragon took me to a freaking trailer park. I mean, what the fuck? I know Fort Shreveport is no dream. It's an old school in the middle of an otherwise boring-looking suburb. When he flew me away, I panicked at first. I cried. I shivered with fear. After a time, I realized that he wasn't going to kill me or drop me. He was just taking me somewhere new. All right. Somewhere new isn't a bad thing. So I remained calm, and I thought of Amy's pretty dresses and fresh hair. Wherever her dragon took her, it was a nice place. Maybe that'll be the silver lining for me. Then this dragon will take me somewhere pleasant and I'll be able to get new clothes or a bath. God, I'd kill for a bath. So when he dumps me in a trailer park and then parks himself nearby waiting, I admit I'm not in the best mood. I mean, Fort Shreveport wasn't great, but it wasn't a damn trailer park. Not only that, but this place looks utterly wrecked. It looks like it was hit with a tornado and then a flood at some point because there is trash spilled everywhere and stuck in the mud. The dozen trailers or so are surrounded by abandoned cars facing every which way, one of them stripped for parts and left with the doors hanging open. Two of the trailers tipped over at some point post-apocalypse, and there's only one or two left intact, the rest in various stages of decay. Weeds poke up from everywhere, and in the center of the parking lot, where the dragons dumped me, looks a bit like a mud pit. Paradise it ain't. So when he shoves his nose at me, I'm tired, cranky, hungry, and mentally wiped out from being stolen away from the fort and being dropped here in this dump. I swat at his nose to get him to move away, and I'm too irritated to be scared anymore. I think Amy's right. I think this dragon wants a girlfriend, and if that's the case, he's doing a really crap job of it. The moment I smack his nose, I freeze up, just waiting to see how he reacts. Instead of roaring, or eating me, he lowers his head to the ground and his haunches go up. The enormous tail flicks back and forth, knocking trash and a nearby broken bicycle over. For a moment, he looks like a big, mischievous puppy. And some of my anger melts away. I laugh, because what else can you do? I've been kidnapped by a dragon and taken to a trailer park. There's not much else to do but laugh. The tail flicks again, back and forth. And as I watch him, I notice that his eyes flared a bright gold when I laughed. Interesting. I force another smile to my face and laugh again, and it happens once more. Something to do with his reaction, then. I should have asked Amy about it. Damn, I wish I'd paid more attention to Rast. I remember his eyes being gold or swirling darker, like a mood ring, but I don't remember more than that. I press my hands to my face and then scrub them down my cheeks. Okay, Gwen, let's make the most of this. I lower my hands and clasp them in front of me, gazing at the dragon. Hi. Let's start with an introduction. I'm Gwen. The dragon's tail flicks excitedly back and forth, reminding me of a puppy once more. I start to smile. And he lunges forward, snapping at me with those jaws. I let out a scream, falling backwards on my ass into the mud. I squeeze my eyes shut as I huddle on the ground waiting for him to eat me. Nothing happens. I open one eye cautiously, and the dragon still got his haunches up, but his tail's no longer flicking. The gold in his eyes is bleeding to something darker. He snaps his jaws again, but it's half-hearted, almost like he's testing something. Since I don't know what he wants, I remain very, very still. Long minutes pass. We stare at each other, neither moving. I'm starting to wonder how the hell Amy got anywhere with her dragon. I'm afraid to get up too quickly, to make any sort of sudden move in case he decides that I'm the enemy and snaps an arm or a head off of my body. This could last a while, I realize, and I cautiously extend a hand toward him. Nice draggy? Of course, I immediately feel like an asshole for doing so. Rast was just as intelligent as Amy or as any other human. It stands to reason that whatever communication barrier I'm having with this guy, I shouldn't act like a jerk just because we're having a bit of trouble saying hello to each other. Let me try again, I say softly. Hi there, I'm Gwen. I know you wanted to meet me. I try smiling, though I'm positive there's never been a time I felt less like smiling. Here I am. Your name is Vaughn, right? The dragon's eyes swirl feverishly as he gazes at me, and then he snaps his teeth at me once more, then watches to see my reaction. Dude, seriously, I breathe. Are you trying to piss me off or something? I shake my head at him. I'm not the enemy. You said you wanted to meet me, not the other way around. I was just fine back in my fort. Well, that's not entirely true. I was busy watching my world crumble around me back in my fort, but at least I didn't have a dragon to contend with. The dragon moves forward again, and this time he's abandoned the playful crouching. At least, I hope it was playful. He lowers his head and then creeps forward a foot at a time, then begins to sniff me. He buries his nose in my hair and I freeze in place, remembering this from before. Maybe he's just getting to know my smell. Okay, cool. I can do this. He rubs his enormous muzzle over my hair and then moves lower, nostrils flaring as he sniffs my shirt. I can't help but notice just how enormous his teeth are, and how close to me. He nips at the hem of my shirt as if trying to figure it out, or remove it. Yeah, no. I calmly put a hand on his muzzle and push it away, hoping that he's not going to snap over that small gesture. He doesn't, though. He allows me to push his head aside and then gives me another long, searching look, as if he's waiting for something. Enough of this. If you're human under there, I whisper, I hope you can get the gist of this. I pat my chest and say my name. Gwen. Then I reach out and touch his nose. I repeat this, saying my name over and over again with a pat over my heart, and then touching his nose. I know his name is Vaughn, Amy told me that. But I want to hear it from him. More than anything, we need to establish communication of some kind. I think of what Amy told me about dragons, how they're lost in their own minds, made crazed by this world. Right now, Vaughn's going to have a singular focus, Amy had said. And that's mating you. Once he does, he'll give you his fires, via the bite I told you about, and then you'll be bonded. I'm not sure I'm ready for that just yet, so we're going to try the me-Tarzan-you-Jane route for now. I give it another shot. Gwen, I say softly, and then try a different tactic. I touch my stomach. Gwen. I tap my nose. Gwen. I reach out and fluff my hair since he seems so fascinated by it. Gwen. I notice his gaze follows my hands, so when I'm done touching my hair, I reach out my hand, waiting. A second later, the dragon is gone, and a naked man rises from a crouch from several feet away. He gets to his feet slowly, sinuously, and then stands upright. There's a frown on his face as he stares at his hands, flexing them. Then his gaze alights on me, and there's no mistaking the hunger on his face, or the massive erection he's sporting. He moves directly in front of me, still naked as a jaybird, and buries his hands in my hair. Gwen, he murmurs, and his voice is so deep and rumbly that I swear I can feel it in my belly. Oh, mercy. That's a real nice voice. He's also incredibly good-looking. I mean, I thought Rast was handsome in an odd sort of way. Liam, too. In fact, I'd always wondered why Liam had wanted to mess up such a pretty face. Turns out he didn't mess it up after all. That's just how dragons look in human form. Neither of them holds a candle to this guy, though. Vaughn is... just wow. There are no words. Well, no, there are. But they're words like fine and damn and delicious and fiercely masculine. And good God, this is what's been hiding under that dragon's scales. His hair is a short, spiky shock of pale gold that reminds me a bit of a mohawk. I expected him to have the long, flowing hair like Rasta's, but his is short and wild, framed by the spiky horns along his brow. More spikes dance along the backs of his arms, and his chest is broad and dappled with a pattern that hints of scales, but looks like skin this close. And I'm really, really close, because he's got his hands in my hair scrunching my curls. He touches it with a fascinated look on his face, as if he's never felt anything so glorious. I remain perfectly still, doing my best not to interrupt. He's only a hand span away from me, though, and I can't help but notice that his eyes are gorgeously framed with long bronze lashes. He's got a heavy brow and a strong nose, but it looks good on him. His mouth is a hard line as if he doesn't smile much, but his lips are full. I notice he's got small ears for a man, which is kind of adorable, and big arms. I don't dare look further down because I know I'll just see the equipment that's damn close to touching me. I focus on the arms. Real big arms. And big hands. Big hands that keep fluffing my hair. Gwen, he says in that rumbling voice of his. Gwen. That's right, I murmur. Gwen. His swirling, molten gaze focuses on my face and he caresses my hair one more time, letting the black curls flow through his grip. He's got wicked claws tipping each finger, and I can't help but notice them even more when he moves forward and presses a hand against my chest. Gwen. His hand slides lower, gliding down between my breasts to my stomach, and he touches me lightly there. Gwen. There's a strange curl of response in my belly. It has to be the way he says my name. Part possessive alpha and part tease. There's something unreadable in his eyes as his hand rests on my stomach for a moment longer. Then he takes my hands in his and guides them to his hair. Vaughn. And there's a challenge in his eyes, as if daring me to repeat his movements. And he's very, very naked. Oh, Lord, what have I got myself into?
10. Vaughn. My mate refuses to challenge me. This is disappointing. No matter how much I prod at her or snap to raise her ire, she will not shift forms. There must be a reason behind her reluctance, so I will let it rest for now. Just being in her presence helps steady my thoughts. Without her at my side, I felt as if my mind was constantly drifting from breeze to breeze. With her here, I have something to focus on. Gwen. My Gwen. I like the sound of her name. It is strong and fierce, like her spirit. I like the golden brown of her soft skin. I like the soft brown of her eyes. I like the thick, winding curls of her dark hair that spill over her shoulders and down her back. I love her scent. I love that the fear tinge has bled away, leaving nothing but curiosity and the musk that is purely my mate. I want to bury my face in her hair and breathe in her scent, but she watches me with wary eyes. If she will not challenge me, perhaps I need to tease it out of her. So I repeat her name and the gestures she's given me, making sure to touch her as I do. Each caress is never long enough, but if I leave my hand for too long, her fear smell returns, so I make sure not to scare her. I touch her chest, then her stomach. Then, because I am feeling sly, I guide her hands to my hair. Let her touch my chest and stomach. I will play her games. As long as I get to touch her and drink in her presence, I will do whatever she needs. To my surprise, her cheeks turn a darker shade of that lovely golden brown, and her lips part. She looks shy, which is fascinating. It is not an expression I have seen on fierce Draconi women. I like it. Vaughn, she whispers, and I bite back a groan. I like the way my name sounds on her lips. It would sound better if her thoughts were merged with mine, but that will be soon enough. I am not letting her escape me again. So I wait for her to touch my chest, for our little game to continue. My cock is hard and aching, fangs throbbing with the readiness to give her my fires. She hesitates, and then puts one hand high on my chest, so high she practically touches my neck. Vaughn. And she goes no lower. Ah, where is her boldness now? I snag her hand before she can pull it away, holding it in my own. She feels cool against my skin, and I realize her fires are much, much fainter than mine. Perhaps that is why she does not respond to my attempts to speak to her. I nudge her mentally, trying to coax her to open up to me, but there is no response. I cannot give her my seed until she takes my fires. A female is always cooler than a male, but this human is even less heated than a Draconi female. She would be scalded by my seed. Even now, her flesh reddens against my touch. I study her hand, the palm that is reddish-brown after touching me. Her fingers are puny and have no claws, and her bones are delicate and fragile. Curious. Is this why she won't fight me? Because she is afraid I would hurt her in the challenge? Surely she knows I would be fierce only in the conquest, that after she has given in sweetly, I will be tender with her. Let me claim you, I send. No response. She looks at me with big, dark eyes, scarcely breathing. Her fear scent is beginning to creep up again. I want to smell her arousal scent, though. So I take her hand and place it low on my stomach, below my navel, almost to my cock. She gasps, and the sound makes my body jerk in response. Seed coats the head of my shaft, and I fight back the growl rising in my throat. My mate. Mine. Possessiveness floods through me. She snatches her hand away, her cheeks dark with that flush, and I bite back the snarl of response that rises in my throat. Her retreat makes the storm in my mind grow stronger. As it lashes at my thoughts, I feel the toeholds of sanity slipping away again. If she hides from me, retreats, is that not a concession to my strength? Is that not her giving in to my challenge? I should take what is mine. Claim my mate. My fangs throb with the need to sink into her pretty brown throat. She slaps my hands away and skitters backward a half step. Before she can go farther, instinct takes over. I snag her ankle and stop her retreat, then slowly crawl over her body until she is lying pinned under me. I do not rest my weight on her. Not yet. She is not on her belly, and I cannot mount her until she is. And she is wearing things that cover her body from my sight. I do not like them. They stink of the other humans. With an irritated snarl, I grab a handful of the strange yellowish skin covering her chest. It tears at my touch, shredding under my claws, and I pull it away from her. The storm rolls in my mind, thundering harder and faster. Claim her. Take her. She puts a hand on my jaw, pushing my face aside. No! Vaughn, no! Vaughn. Wait. I am Vaughn. I blink down at her, confused. Through the storm, I can see delicate golden brown skin.